Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com. Now here are your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Sue Goetz is a garden designer, writer, and speaker. Through her garden design business, Creative Gardener, she works with clients personalizing garden spaces. And Sue is also certified as a professional horticulturist. And she's the author of A Taste for Herbs and is very passionate about herbs. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day, not only to join Holly, myself, and educate us, but all of our listeners across the country. We thank you for that.
Yeah.
So you're very passionate about growing herbs. Is there something that you've always enjoyed about it? Why herbs? Why not like tomatoes or peppers or eggplants? Where did this love for herbs come from?
It's been long, long ago. When I started gardening, when I was younger, I actually tend to just grow things that I can do something with, like, not necessarily just ornamental in the garden. And so I've always had a passion for that. And so maybe a bit selfishness, I want to know what a plant is going to do for me. So what's it going to give back to me? And when we think of herbs, they're the most giving group of plants you're ever going to find. We get so much back. We get flavor and medicine and aromatherapy, the garden. And so it's almost like, why not herbs? They give so much to us.
Well, and that's the thing. There's herbs that we are learning about that didn't know exist, such as the I think it's called the toothache plant, where you chew it and numbs your gums. So there's a lot of different types of plants that the common gardener may not be familiar with.
Yes, right. And I think that when you start thinking about, this is an herb, what does it do? I think we as gardeners just really want to dive a little deeper, more about it. What will it do? And what does it taste like? What does it smell like? How will it heal me? All of those things. And you don't ask that of many plants. I think that's just a category of plants that are so diverse to do that.
Definitely. Now, many people may not think of attracting pollinators with herbs. What are some herbs that attract pollinators, and how can they be used around vegetables best or most efficiently?
Yeah. When you look at a list of plants that will attract pollinators to the garden, you'll see a lot of herbs really rise to the top of the list. And I think they're ones everybody knows. They're pretty common. Things like bee balm. I mean, you think about, even the name tells us right there, a Monarda is what those are, or hummingbird mint, which is, Agastaches. Rosemary. Everybody seems to know rosemary and lavender, even chives. Parsley, fennel. I mean, you can see this just is really a long list. And so really kind of adding that diversity to a garden that will attract different pollinators as well. That's what herbs will do. They're attracting hummingbirds, which do a little bit of pollinating, and birds and bees and butterflies and all of those things. So the diversity of the range of herbs really do a good job. And then, of course, in your veggie garden, I actually, in a past garden I had, it's a different garden I have now, I actually had a little hedge of parsley along the edge of my vegetable bed, and I'll run like a hedge of chives. You can really mingle some of these plants into vegetable gardens, so you can really encourage a lot of pollinator activity. And even just like a potted rosemary next to a raised bed or something like that, I think you could really start to explore different ways, because that rosemary or that lavender that you're going to harvest for, to flavor food or to make a skin healing treatment, you also are attracting pollinators. So you kind of see this multi-purpose use they're going to give the garden anyway.
Well, and that's the other thing. We've practiced the method of polyculture where we would plant a zucchini and then plant basil around it, try to smother the flavor to get of the zucchini to keep, you know, the squash vine borer or squash bugs away from it to confuse them and they go elsewhere. So that's another practice in which you can incorporate and actually get kind of two crops in one location.
Yeah. I mean, you could just see this, the more you can explore that diversity in the garden, how it helps other plants as well. And if you want to keep plants off of other things, basil tends to get, you know, white fly and things like that. But if you plant it near some marigolds and just the kind of things you do in your vegetable garden anyway, you can really kind of see how you can explore that diversity as well.
Well, now I have to ask you about this. On your website, most people know about microgreens and how to grow them, but on your website, you refer to micro herb garden. What is this, and is it much different than people growing the traditional microgreens that we're familiar with?
It isn't really a whole lot different from what we classically know as growing microgreens. I just call it micro herb gardens because I really wanted people to have a really good kind of capture an image that they could have little mini microgreens, but you're using herb seeds instead of, you know, most people use different types of lettuces and things like that. And so you can grow little mini herb gardens, really, and you can start them any time of the year. It's just basically what you do with microgreens, seeds in a tray, that kind of thing, and harvest them when they get about 2 to 3 inches. And I absolutely love like a tray of little microgreen of basil and cilantro, and parsley is another one of my favorites because those little tiny plants, just like a lot of microgreens, the flavor of the herb is really hyperextended, so it's really intense. And that's what I really love. So I call them little micro herb gardens. It makes you think more beyond what people kind of tend to do with microgreens anyway. We move beyond lettuce and maybe try some herbs for some flavor.
Okay. And we are talking with Sue Getz. She is a garden designer, writer, and speaker. Now, some of us have trouble growing lavender. I know Joy and I have struggled with this, but we would love to and have a lot of lavender. What are some tips for growing lavender?
I think this is a question I always get asked. How can I grow my lavender? What makes lavender happy? And so I usually kind of start with, think about where lavender grows in its native environment. It grows on the hillsides, rocky soil in Mediterranean regions of the world. So like that kind of rocky, poor soil in the full sun. And so think about in your garden where you would maybe try to mimic that or really kind of give those conditions to the plant, and you'll have much more success with lavender. So I always say find that sunny part of the garden where the soil is kind of cruddy and it's a little rocky and you don't need a whole lot of amendment. You can just kind of put a lavender in there and let it go and it'll thrive. So it just really needs that good drainage. It needs lots of warmth and sun. And so how can you kind of create your little Mediterranean corner in your garden? I think that's my best advice, and lavender will just do very well in those conditions.
Well, you bring up a good point. As gardeners, we always want to make the plant grow where we want it to grow, not where it's will grow. So that's a good piece of advice that you've offered us.
Right.
your book, A Taste for Herbs, can you tell us what it's about and something our listeners may find very intriguing or really enjoy about it?
Yeah, so A Taste for Herbs was, I wrote that because I wanted to really share with people how to capture the flavor of herbs. So it isn't really a cookbook with all the main dishes or anything like that. It's really how we take a plant from our garden that we're calling an herb because that's what it is, and we're infusing it, but taking that flavor, capturing it into seasoning salt and oil and vinegars and even infusing into honey, you know, infusing it into butter. And so it's kind of more the things you add to the main dish. What makes the main dish exciting? It's these seasonings and it's herbs. And so in the book, I just really wanted to share how to really capture, I guess that's the best way I would put it, capture flavors. And so I have over 100 recipes to follow, but I really hit hard on 20 herbs that I'm sure everybody will know. They're very common, but I really hit on how to preserve them, what parts of the plant that you use, what's their growing conditions, things like that. And so, and harvesting too, all of the things that help you to best capture flavor. That's what A Taste for Herbs was about. It's just really learning and exploring that seasoning aspect of the plant. That's my favorite part, of course.
Fantastic. Now, how can our listeners find out more about you and your book and all of your great information?
So you can find me a couple of different ways. I have my website, suegetz.com. I'm going to spell it suegetz.com. And I also have my blog, herblovergarden.com. And that's a place I would love people to go visit, because that's where I'm throwing out some more recipes. I'm exploring. I just kind of sharing all these things I'm learning from my garden or from others in their gardening realm of what they're doing. And also excited, and it's just going out on a new post right now. I have a new book coming out in December, and it's the first week in December. It's out on Amazon right now, and it's about herb gardening in containers. So this makes it really accessible to everybody. So you can find more about the book at those places. And then if you're an Instagrammer, I'm Creative Gardener on Instagram, and you can find my little kind of herb wandering there as well.
Well, that book about growing herbs in containers, I think that's going to be a hot one, because everybody, you know, maybe you don't want to pull the real estate from your garden where you were going to put tomatoes and you put herbs, but you can surround your garden with those containers or in grow bags or whatever and grow them that way.
Yeah, totally. I'm so excited about this book, because it really, I even dive a little deep into balconies and roofs and people that maybe just really don't have garden space, don't want you to miss out on the greatness of growing herbs. And so this container gardening book really explores through that. And I even explore how to use pollinator herbs in containers and moving them in the garden where they're beneficial to the plants around it, like you're talking about your veg garden and things like that. So there's lots of fun things coming out. I'm really excited about it.
Well, Sue, we greatly appreciate you taking time out of your day to join not only Holly and myself, but all of our listeners across the country.
Yes, and thank you so much for inviting me. I look forward. People can contact me on my website or whatever if they want to chat about herbs or have any questions. I'd love to help with that as well.
Absolutely.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.